only reason I have an actual coaster is because I found it on the street in Brooklyn and drunkenly thought it was a good idea to take it home.
Oh my God, this is good.
And it was a good idea. It was a fine idea.
Yeah, it turned out that coaster has been the finest investment of my time and energy ever.
You needed that coaster. I get it. All right, so at least he apologized for being a dick wagon. He's like, oh yeah, you're probably right. That was probably rude of me to do while you were out of town.
I guess I'll edit all this out. Welcome to Podcasting!
This is an interesting way to start. All right. Let's see where this goes.
Hey, you know what? We can keep it. I don't give a shit. He was being a dick wagon. I'm sorry.
Right. No, we don't know.
No, we do need to discuss this. Now, I've just said dick wagon to you. What do you picture in your head?
Dick wagon? For some reason, I'm getting that Oscar Mayer car.
No, the Wienermobile.
The Wienermobile, yes. Okay. Nice. The Wienermobile.
Actually, I'm seeing Oregon Trail style covered wagon with a penis, a tip sticking out the front, and then a ball sack hanging out the back.
Okay, see, for me, when I picture dick wagon, it is a wagon being driven by dicks, like actual, like, penises are driving this
with
wagon.
Legs? Yeah,
well, like a covered wagon.
Yeah, they have, but totally covered wagon style, yeah, but they have legs and arms enough to do that. But
Are the horses also penises?
Yes, they are. Good. They are, but their legs are constructed of penises as well. So it's like the penis body.
And the balls are the joints where they rotate.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. So dick wagon. All right. There you go.
Well, now that image is burned into my head.
You're welcome.
It is a fun game to play because it's one of my favorite like terms to use for someone who's pissing me off. And then I'll pause people and be like, what did you picture in your head? It's amazing the things people come up with.
That is practicing mindfulness. You're checking in with the other person. Hi, we are Buddies in Space. You are?
It's Michael Smith, and you are?
And Michael Crossy.
And between us is?
Oh, I don't know what to call myself today.
I usually call yourself.
Dick wagon?
Queen of the dick wagon.
I am. I'm queen of the something.
So many responses to that. I'm overwhelmed.
No, I am a Melanie Henderson.
Oh, all right. We'll go vanilla.
M. Eleni.
Yeah. I used to use Liquor LaFera when I was like 16. I discovered.
All right. Liquor LaFera.
Nice.
Hi, we are Buddies in Space. You are?
It's Michael Smith. You are?
And Michael Crossy. And you are?
I'm Liquor LaFera.
See? Done.
That's so easy.
It's so easy. I won't edit the other one out because I'm lazy as shit, but you know. So, consensus, yay and the drink?
I like it. It's like I guess I had some sort of different version of it, which is not very sweet. It's more sour. Kind of like a not sweet lemonade sort of drink.
This is a Caipirosca, which is similar to a Caipirinha, but with vodka instead of cachaça. So I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, but
there's a very tart, tartish, sourish, citrus flavor to it.
Yeah, no, you're not far off. All of it is three ingredients. It's muddled lime, raw sugar, like sugar in the raw, and vodka.
I brought out some sort of, it's probably the garlic earlier, the basil. Like, I feel like there's a basil or something in there.
You know what? There's whatever you fucking want to be in there.
Okay, game.
If you taste basil, I thought about some mint, but I didn't do it. So we'll say it's spiritual.
It's spiritual.
I infused it with the essence of basil. Like in a thought. Like a Doctor Strange kind of thing.
Oh no, are we jumping into that?
Nah, are you a Marvel movie?
Yeah.
You see Doctor Strange?
Yes.
Yeah,
We just watched it.
I had some issues with the cloak work, but other than that, I'm game. I'm game. The cloak and I, we didn't want to. I didn't want to talk about that.
I feel like they wanted the cloak to be a really popular toy.
They wanted it to be the Hulk version.
Yeah.
Like the Hulk from the Avengers, because he kind of stole the show in the original Avengers.
Absolutely.
Movie.
Right. They were trying to have him upstage everything and also sell a lot of toys. I feel like they really wanted to sell the cape.
All I saw was the footstool from Beauty and the Beast. Like every time I saw it in my head, for whatever reason, it had that same kind of personality structure. Like the dog footstool in Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
And the old cartoon.
One?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like it just had that same kind of quirky personality structure. And I'm like, I'm not buying this.
Yeah, they really went to a couple of heavy slapstick gags in that with the cloak. Like the thing with him like trying to run to get
yeah.
to
oh,
the
yes.
house.
Yeah.
Yes.
That went on a little bit. A little longer than
but I like the S&M net chair lockup thing. That was weird
and interesting.
I was like, what the? Sure. And it was really long. You had to really wait that out.
Yes.
You had to be like, okay, it's gotta like buy him a drink and get him into position and then lube him up. Okay, now we're done. Also, all I kept thinking is, that's the guy from Rogue One. What? Why does he have purple eyes? What's this?
What's going on here?
They're selling their soul to Dormammu for a lifetime of raves.
Dormammu. That could be our new intro song.
I know. If you had like pacifiers to go with the eye makeup, that would have been perfect. Mm.
Did you say that when we watched it?
I don't know.
That's weird. Oh, no, Erica made that joke at the circus last night because Simon had a light-up thing in the dark.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, okay. What's his name?
Dormammu.
No, the guy from The Office that I sent you a picture of. Josh.
Jake.
No, that happened with Jake yesterday. He, like, goes into his pockets to get something, comes out with a squeezy pouch and a pacifier. And I'm like, I don't need to know what you do in your free time, Shug. Nice.
He could be a young dad or it could be a lot of raves.
I mean, you know, there's a little bit of both there.
So, Melanie, Lucius, I already forgot the lascivious lusticator.
Oh god,
liquor.
No, I just recently unpacked, found my journal from when I was like 14, and this was.
You should have brought that.
That would have been good.
That would have been really.
No, there was some really rowdy things that apparently I thought I was going to be way into it when I was 14.
Oh, even better.
You tell. Any highlights that come to mind?
Well,
what better way to get to know you?
There was a discussion of, apparently at, 14, 15, 16, I thought orgies were going to be something I was really going to be into.
Dear Diary.
That was exactly how it went.
I think that when I am an older, mature woman.
No, I wanted to have an orgy right then, and I had listed the individuals I would like to do it with.
At the tender age of 14, I will be an orgiest, an orgy aficionado. One who orgies.
Or is it just like a simple my orgy list?
It was like I would really like to have an orgy with and a listed people.
Oh, right.
And then it was like, I think it would be very fun, and I listed my reasons why. Not in a list form.
So these
per
like,
se.
Like people in your life, or are they like celebrities?
No, they were people in my life. Okay. Yes, actually.
Well, that's good. You had realistic aims.
Yeah, I did. I was like
a 14-year-old girl in Georgia?
Yes.
I feel like they might have been really realistic.
They were not relative. That's what you need to know, mister.
Well, actually wasn't what I was suggesting.
Oh, well, that's what you always
I was still
suggest.
Insulting the South, though, because I'm in the room with two Southerners.
Yeah.
All I can think by the way now is, my orgy and me.
I have a bone to pick.
Oh.
Illinois, Indiana, not the South.
I never said it.
I know.
The South.
He says
about?
It's the South.
No, because you
what?
Lived in...
No.
Has he lived
the
where?
Other place?
I was
Arkansas.
Born in Arkansas.
You were born in Arkansas.
I was born in Tennessee. I grew up in Arkansas.
See? Oh, okay. All right. Fine. I didn't catch that part. South. I missed that part somewhere along the way.
That's legit South.
Arkansas, really.
South of Mason-Dixon.
But that's Arkansas is... Isn't it on the other side of the Mississippi?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then it's not the South.
Oh, that's right on the...
I hate to break this to you, but...
Anyway,
the South
born in Tennessee.
No.
East-West is vertically divided.
No.
You get into Southwest, but Arkansas is way
I know.
More
oh,
South
I know.
Than
I'm
Southwest.
Just teasing. I'm just teasing. Oh. I'm teasing.
She's not teasing.
It borders bite, Mississippi.
Bite. That's true. That's very true. Yeah, I know, right? I think Mississippi and Alabama, I think
know,
everyone feels the same way.
I say that like having lots of relatives in Mississippi, so. Mm. Who are wonderful people.
Who don't listen to this podcast.
We'll never
so
listen to
say
podcast.
Whatever the fuck you want, dude. I hope they don't realize I'm not very good with geology and don't actually, or geography. I'm not very good with either, and I don't really know what the fuck they're talking about. So, who the fuck are you?
Who the fuck am I? I don't know.
How, why are you here?
I'm here because... I had to come to Rochester for work because I work with you. And
being Mike, not Smike.
Yes.
For the listeners who can't see. But feel free to gesticulate solely to point out who you're talking to. It's fine.
So you grew up in Georgia.
I was born in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Oh, Chattanooga.
I've
been to Ruby Falls.
Oh my God.
And
who
Rock
hasn't
City.
Been to Ruby Falls and Rock City if they've ever lived in the South? You haven't lived in the South. Put your hand down.
I don't know if we ever talk about that, but... there was like years after I went there as a little kid.
Sure,
years
sure.
Years ago,
because everybody had to do that if they were anywhere within like 100-mile radius of it.
But I'd heard later that Ruby Falls had dried up like decades ago, and they just have like a fountain pump in there now.
That is the rumor. I don't know if it's true or not. I've never actually seen any evidence of it, but yes, no. And it's kind of one of those things.
It's scandalous.
It's like everybody comes to Atlanta and they're like, oh, we want to go to the Coke Museum. And you're like, oh, motherfucker. Why? You're just going to taste rancid Coca-Cola from weird countries and you're going to wonder why you did that to yourself. That's all it does. Mexican
Coke does taste better.
It does taste better. You're absolutely right.
Living in New York City, I know what the tour guide thing is like.
Yeah. Well, there's not much to do in Atlanta.
It doesn't matter where you are. Going to the same fucking places you don't care about more than twice is pretty much the limit for anyone.
It's Coke Museum and Aquarium, right?
The Coke Museum, the Aquarium, the Varsity, which is...
Was that that mall thing?
No. The Varsity is a hot dog hamburger restaurant in downtown Atlanta. Right across the street from Georgia Tech. I mean, basically, like, Georgia Tech here. Like, Georgia Tech, and, like, two steps over, you're at the Varsity.
So it's a college wiener joint.
It is. It is a college wiener joint.
Mike knows what I'm talking about.
So... The big thing is like you walk in the door and you get anywhere near the counter and they're screaming at you, what do you have? 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 And if you don't know, they will yell at you to get out of the way.
I would just leave. Right? I'd be like, this is too much pressure.
It's like the Philly cheesesteak places. The original. Like you have to know exactly what you're going to order. They talk so fast. Well, the Philly cheesesteak places do.
They do in the South too. Yeah.
So which is you weird. You have to like order for your friends when you go there?
Most of the time I prep them ahead of schedule going in. It's like, okay, your options are going to be hot dog or hamburger. And then what the fuck do you want on top of it? You know, it's kind of like going to Waffle House. You guys, you don't have Waffle House here, right? Do you have Waffle
House? Of course, I've been to Waffle House.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who am I talking to? So it's
Waffle House, Shoney's. Are there Shoney's anymore?
Yes, there's actually a Shoney's off the exit still? Near where I live. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's absolutely. Nice. Not very many.
Strawberry pies. Yeah.
That is true. Oh, this is going to be a Karasi Light episode, isn't it?
And then at this point, I got up and made another drink and then came back.
Because I just sat there and
got plastered. So, guys, tell me more about the South.
I don't know. What do you want to know?
I was kidding. I'm not really drunk yet.
I was going to say, I was born in Chattanooga. I moved when I was 4 down to the Atlanta area.
Do you still have, like, family in Chattanooga?
No. No? Well, I do have that one adopted cousin that I just learned about that I didn't know I had.
I don't think that counts.
But no. Nobody else is still left in Chattanooga. My sister was outside of Chattanooga for a little while, but she moved to Illinois, and God bless the world for that. But that's beside the point.
I have a very important question. Does anyone actually call it Hotlanta?
Yeah, tourists.
Okay.
I'd never heard that before. Until, like, just real recently.
We will refer to it as the ATL, but we never call it Hotlanta.
Okay.
No. Mm-mm. No, unless we do it with incredible sarcasm. That's
right,
the only way.
Right, and that's totally legit.
Yeah, absolutely. What else do you want to know about the South?
That's it.
Yeah, I know. That's usually
exactly how much I need to know about the South. We have hit my quota. Thank you for joining us. It has been awesome. That's not a hand to shake my hand. That's a middle finger. How rude!
So I have to kind of call you out because you kind of you don't have much of an accent.
I don't. I struggled for I worked very hard to not have a Southern accent because I like the mic.
And I have a feeling if like we were in a room for like a couple hours, we would revert to Southern.
It would happen. It would happen most definitely. But I like Mike. Wanted to be an actor at one point in my life. And there's nothing like a Southern accent doing Shakespeare to make you go, ooh, I need to get rid of this.
To be or not to be?
No.
That is the question.
No, that's hillbilly. That's not Southern. No, that's just hillbilly.
That is so
to
different.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
Well, that's a little closer. I won't hit you for that one. But yeah, no, it's definitely...
I was once on the subway just going to work, and there was this like Norwegian dude sitting next to me reading Hamlet, reading that monologue.
Like out loud.
I'm trying to run through it, and he like, looks at me, excuse me, can you help me here? And I was like, yeah, sure. And he goes, how do you say this word? And I'm like, arrows? And he's like, oh, okay, yeah. And like he was going to an audition and couldn't really read the script. I was like, break a leg, dude.
Yeah, go for it, buddy.
And I never saw that guy again.
Yeah. So no, I worked very hard to get rid of my Southern accent, and unfortunately, I spent a good bit of time in Michigan a few years back for work.
We're in Michigan.
And everywhere, literally, I just went back and forth to different places in Michigan.
Was I like right up on the? I was in Elkhart, so I was like right up on the border Michigan line.
So I was. I did get to spend some time in Harbor Springs, mm-hmm. and you know, so I did go up to Mackinac and like go up that mm-hmm. direction, enjoy a little bit of that. I did Cadillac and Detroit, of course, a few dozen times.
You got to the dunes.
No, I didn't. Oh, I didn't. It was so much work related. But so I picked up a little bit of that accent over the years, and mm-hmm. now it's kind of adapted in, and I sometimes wish I could get the Southern back just to get rid of that, but, you know. I love playing that game with people, though, and trying to give away those tickets at conference. I was like, mm-hmm. my question was, where am I from? They wouldn't know where I was from because they couldn't guess it from the accent. So.
No tickets for them, yeah. Suckers.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's so many right answers to that one.
Well, I was born and
they
raised.
They could say Tennessee or.
They could say Tennessee or Georgia. Atlanta, those are the only two. Or, yeah, I was like, what state?
Michigan. I mean, that's where you were.
No, I spent a good bit of time. From. Yeah, where am I from? That was the key there. So I would give them points on either.
I would argue if you're going somewhere for work, you are too old at that point to be counted as from there.
And it was fly up there, spend a few days, fly back. Okay. It wasn't like I was living up there. For. Mm-hmm.
But you're talking about the tickets to the swag room, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was like, there was this closet.
At, the so the swag room?
Yeah, so we went to the partner conference. We worked a partner conference for our, you know, employer.
Yes.
Who I try not to say, but I think I've said many times on the podcast.
Yeah, you totally have.
So I want to go to the swag room now that I've heard that.
It was awesome. It was amazing. Magical. Like when you opened it, like stuff. Light, like shone out, crap, and angelic singing.
No, cool. it really wasn't. It was really like
Louis Vuitton handbags and shit. Like so many salesmen were like, I saw nothing in there for me, but I'm going to get in so much good graces with my wife because I got this and this.
Wow.
I didn't see any Louis Vuitton. I saw Tory Burch, which is nice.
I heard LV.
What?
I don't know, maybe the guy was lying.
I don't know, I'll talk to LG.
Maybe he was a guy, I didn't actually know what he was talking about.
I'll talk to LG and find out if there was LV, she'd know.
But yeah, there was this magical room that we all had like one or two tickets to give access to, and so everyone was like trying to cozy up with us. And
are you kidding me? I was the ticket queen. Everybody gave me tickets. I don't know why.
Really?
I was getting to give them, all the classes I proctored, I got to give away tickets.
Yeah, I did too, but I had to do the fishbowl thing.
Yeah.
Aw.
It was lame. I made people jump through hoops at the Genius Lounge.
Stupid
though.
Fairness.
Ah. Discretion. Legal issues with favoritism. Ugh.
So, pre-Trump.
Ah, it's a different world now. You can totally still run a business as a president.
No, we're not going there.
No.
I didn't mean to go there.
Nope.
So you have listened to this podcast once or twice?
Oh, just, I think almost all of them. There might be one or two that I missed, but...
Hopefully the early ones.
They're
not all out there easily accessible.
No, the early ones are the ones I listened to probably first, because it was like right after you told me you were doing it. Those were the ones I picked up. It's been the ones in the last handful of months when I've been so crazy busy that I haven't had a chance to listen to.
We've been doing this a while.
You're 50, yeah. What's, 55?
60, this is our 63rd or 4th episode.
And we've been working together how long? Almost 3 years. 3 years in October.
And we started after my kid was born. Yeah, all right.
So.
You probably have learned them almost all. Why are you flicking him off? I mean, I do it all the time. Okay. Well, it's quite therapeutic.
There is.
For me too.
There is.
Everyone at home, flicks mic off right now.
There you go. I felt that. Oh.
Not only was it filled with hate, it went back in time to hit you right now, and you weren't in the same fucking room. That's
yeah. That's power right
that's
there.
That's the white hot hatred of 1,000 unholy sons.
So, do you want to talk a little bit about your art?
Oh, sure. Kind of cool. So I have a bachelor's in fine arts, painting and drawing, and then I have a minor in art history. So
were you talking about our tattoos?
I was, but okay. This is cool too.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about those too here in just a second. But so I had this dream I was going to be an artist, and guess what? Artists don't make any money. And yeah. I like to eat food occasionally.
Occasionally.
More often.
I think we've both come to that conclusion as well.
Yeah, yeah. So my dad, wonderful man that he is, he's like, hey, why don't you come and, you know, be my office manager. And then my office manager turned into, hey, we need somebody to go train. Can you try to learn this phone system? So I had like 2 weeks with a demo kit and said, learn the phone system and go train people. And the next thing I know, it was history. I drank the orange Kool-Aid and here I am. Sure. So we can talk about the tattoos.
Which are even more interesting now that I know you're an artistic kind of person.
So yeah, so all of my work is done by a guy named Kenny Holland. He is a True Tattoo.
Kenny Loggins?
Kenny Holland. Oh. Holland, like, yeah, Holland. Anyway, he's
like the tunnel.
Thanks. He's at True Tattoo in L.A. now, but I actually went to art school with him, and so
to,
I had
to what
art school with him?
Oh, art school. Okay.
What'd you hear?
I heard Earth School for some reason.
Yes.
And then we talked about Wiccan for 30 minutes.
That right. It says more about my hearing than anything else.
that one's mine.
Damn it.
That's why I made you a weak one. That's why I made you a weak one. And you're trying to make up for it.
He's trying to take my dream.
I tried.
So, but yeah, so I went to school with him. I waited until I was 30 years old to get my very first tattoo. I had a rule of myself. I didn't want the same thing for 5 years before I was allowed to touch myself. That sounded wrong.
That's a rough rule. That is a, man, that's a brutal rule. Shit.
It's permanent. It's permanent. A girlfriend of mine, when she was 18, got these big, huge, awful, geometric black angel wings that covered her entire back.
Why do women do that?
And I saw it, and I went, oh, dear God, no, I'm going to fuck this up. So I made myself wait.
So you had to say, your thought was, there's something I want. If I want it 5 years from now,
then I can get it
now, then good.
Absolutely.
Solid.
And I waited a little longer than 5 years just because, again, it was going to be a big first piece.
Sure.
And without getting too naked in here with you boys, it starts.
Oh, wow.
And it goes all the way down here.
Wow.
And up the back. So it is what I fondly refer to as my secret garden. Because okay. Most people don't know it's there.
That's very cool.
And it was my all-time favorite book as a kid, so it made a whole lot of sense. Each flower is representative of somebody very important to me in my life. It's their either their favorite nice. Flower or a flower that makes me think of them. Most of them are now no longer in my life, so that's the hilarious part of it.
And you just like have them wilting? Have them touched up to wilt?
No, I don't have a problem with it. They were very important for a portion of my life. They're no longer important to me, but it doesn't erase their
it's
value.
It's still part of your past.
Yeah, right? It doesn't erase history. Their value. It doesn't change their value
this
in my life.
That's why I don't have tattoos.
Yeah, well, so
I'll
then
I do them too much.
Then I have my lovely garden spider here on the top. Mm-hmm. It will eventually be a full half sleeve. I have a sick obsession with bugs. If I could go back and do a whole new life, I would be an entomologist.
Hmm. That's cool.
If I could start life over.
I mean, I like bugs more than most people, I guess.
I like
more than my wife, certainly.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the guy that's like, no, don't kill the spider. I'm going to get a glass. I'm
and take him
get a
outside.
Piece of paper and take it outside.
Like you did a couple days ago.
Like I did here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's totally me. I'm not totally that person.
Didn't you guys commit Japanese beetle genocide?
Yeah, well, they're pests. That's a difference.
Oh, okay.
Spiders aren't pests. Spiders are good because they will eat the other insects.
I usually will try to find another insect that will destroy a pest insect over, like, genocide, as you so put it. But
yeah, we didn't have
Japanese beetles are rough. They're hard to get.
I mean, they're invasive. They don't
belong. They don't belong here.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't have any natural predator.
Your kind don't belong here.
Yeah, you get out of the South now. You hear?
You get back on your boat and plane and automobile and can fly on off to beetle land.
Y'all just go right on back to Japan.
We don't need your kind around here.
Are you Godzilla?
were to that tree. They were destroying that
was
tree.
It red
it was
maple?
Full of it.
Was it red maple?
No, it wasn't. I forget what kind of I don't even know what kind of tree it was. It was not a red maple.
Mm.
But it was a tree we liked, so.
It was a tree
they
we liked.
They were all over it.
You were defending the tree's honor.
I was defending the tree's honor. Well, yeah. And so rather than strip my pants off and show you the next set of tattoos, I'll pull up a picture instead. Mike, what are you doing? You're looking like you just heard the strangest thing ever. You look very confused.
Well, so you can't see it, but there's a digital photo frame of Simon.
Oh.
So periodically,
who also is covered in tattoos.
Yes.
Head to toe. I don't know if the people listening to this podcast realize that.
So
he picked one of them.
That is the pair of magpies
Wow.
that are on.
I think you've sent me
okay.
that.
Okay.
Oh. That is really cool.
And then I have...
So why magpie?
So there is an old Wiccan poem.
It is Wiccan.
It is Wiccan. There is an old Wiccan poem about magpies. One is for sorrow, two is for joy, and it continues on, has more meaning, so I got two.
This is as far as I got in the poem. No, it's just fine.
One is for sorrow, two is for joy, three is for a girl, and four is for a boy. It continues on from there. I particularly like magpies because they love to collect shiny things. Oh. And as a kid, my mom would always let me pick up anything sparkly I would find. And I have this little box about the size of a little jewelry necklace box that is full of random sparkly things from when I was a kid. Sequins or other things that I would just find. So that is one of they also have magpie funerals, which I think is beautiful. They will actually gather and mourn a dead magpie. Other magpies. Huh. Yeah. So I think it's a lovely story, and I kind of dig it. In addition to that, I also have these.
Oh.
So my trio
of
betta fish. Mm-hmm. Because strength and solitary and yada, yada, yada. And then...
They're
beautiful fighters. I love that. Then they tend to be solitary. Males more than females, but I tend not to do well with females.
So you put three of them together.
I did. They seem
to get along, though.
It was very purposeful to have three together. That was part of the point for me. It was like, you know, the three sides of the fight. You're like, what are you talking about?
I'm trying to figure out if I understand what you're saying. But I don't think I do.
There's the three sides. I think everybody has three sides of fight in them. They have the fight for themselves. They have the fight for those that they love. And they have the fight for those things that they believe in.
Okay.
So there's the three fights.
Wow.
You should always explain that. Because it's way cooler. That's
really cool.
It sounds weird when you don't explain it. It sounds cool when you do.
I know, but I get a little shy about it. I don't know, because they're very much very intimate.
Next
for
time
me.
That happens, be like... Remember me saying this. It's cooler if you explain it. Problem solved. Cut to my face saying that to you and then explain it.
And then given my most recent endeavors in life, divorcing my husband of 11 years here in the next handful of weeks, this was my last one I just got, which is pretty fantastic. I kind of love it. you don't go wrong with beautiful disaster in cross-stitch font. I gotta figure out a pairing though. I need some help here. Because I've gotta have a match on the other side.
Beautiful
it
mistake.
Looks weird. No, it can't go with beautiful again.
No.
Just too redundant. Can't have that.
I just really like that song. Okay, I'm sorry.
I also learned that Beautiful Disaster was a song title that I was completely unaware of. It's a 311 song. Mm-hmm. Completely did not even realize that when I went to get it.
That's what I initially thought of when you sent that picture to me.
Well. No,
does she like? I feel like she doesn't like 311 that much.
Beautiful Monster is what I wanted to go with, but that is a Lady Gaga song, and nope.
She really doesn't like other women.
Because there's Miniature Disaster, which is KT Tunstall song.
That's true. Oh, I hadn't even thought about that one. So.
But now you can't have two disasters.
No, you can't. So the match needs to be something that works. One I've heard is Controlled Chaos, which I kind of dig.
Mm-hmm.
I also have heard Perfectly Imperfect. Seems a bit redundant.
Yeah.
And kind of contradictory.
It doesn't have the same grammatical thing going on as Beautiful Disaster.
It seems it's too kitschy or something.
What about Hot Mess? Yeah.
No. Well, that's what I say Beautiful Disaster is.
They're the same thing. Yeah,
it's Southern for Hot Mess. Because everything we do, we got to try to take it up a little bit.
Okay.
Us Northerners are just like hot mess.
Well,
we're gonna class it down.
I'm just saying, you guys are just so in your face all the time. You just can't even.
What are you talking about? So, are you trying to do like a counter to it? I guess I don't know what you're looking for.
It could be a coupling. It could be something that references the same thing. It could be completely contradictory. I don't care. I just need something that I can identify with.
Thoughts. Okay.
So ponder that. And then the last one I'm going to be adding is a snake up this side.
A snake? Oh.
Yeah.
I like snakes.
I do too.
I have snakes.
You have many snakes.
Like many?
Yeah.
Like many.
They used to like raise and sell them.
Yeah, well, like I think we got maybe like a dozen or so right now, 13 maybe.
So I have some great difficulties with snakes that are the ones that look like worms, the ones that are like the smaller and they tend to have the buggy eyes and things like that. But once they get to a certain size, I'm totally fine with them. It's just the smaller the snake, eyes. The little creepier that they
more
are.
More worm like straight out.
Yeah, it's like okay. Gross.
Now this is just turning into Prometheus.
So yeah, all right. So you probably don't like the sand boas because they're small and.
But this one in particular was some type of a tree snake that a friend of mine's little boys got for Christmas, and the other two had picked some kind of little pythons. They mm-hmm. were lovely. This one was dark and had beady little eyes, and when it was very affectionate, it was a very affectionate snake. It was very like it was one of those that was would like to wrap very much around you and like weave itself in your fingers. It was very, I would have classed it as affectionate in my mind. That's what I would think of.
You sure it wasn't trying to kill you?
No, they do that differently.
Okay.
Yeah. So he was very much like he wanted to be affectionate. It's like, at least that's how I interpret it. I'm not as snake behaviorist, but
yeah, they don't really do affection. They more like they think of you as a nice tree that they can climb on.
There you go. Hey. As close as a snake gets to affection.
I'm all right with being somebody's nice tree to be climbed on right now. All right. So that being said,
can that be converted into a tattoo? I'll get back to you.
So anyway, after I like had my little freak out because I'm holding this snake that creeps me out a little bit anyways, mm-hmm. I hand it back over to one of the boys, and this thing stands straight up. Mm-hmm. Straight up. And I almost had a heart attack and died. Like, right there on the spot, I'm like, what is it doing? They're like, no, it likes you. It wants to come back. And I'm like, no
this
more
tree
snake.
Is closed for business. Yeah, that would creep me out, too.
Like, I mean, I'm talking like you know, right. Like, straight up, and I'm going, nope.
You sure there wasn't someone with a flute behind you?
Not that I was aware of.
They actually can't hear. Snakes don't have ears.
Then why do they do that in every movie, in racist 80s movies?
Because it looks
movies?
Cool.
Okay.
Actually, when the snake charmer, if you ever see one, they'll be tapping their foot on the ground, and that's what the snake is really responding to.
I thought that was just to keep the beat.
It is, so the snake can keep the beat.
Nice.
Man, I'm still really trying to ponder a good.
I know, trust me. I liked Controlled Chaos, but the it's again. I don't want the same consonants, the double consonant
it's,
thing.
It's
is,
too alliterative. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you.
There's some thought. I mean, like, well, I think a lot of people. Oh, I do have one more. I forgot completely about it. I usually do. It was my very, very, very first. So my very first is a paw print of my dog that was 20 years old when he died. I had had him since I was 11.
This is an old dog.
So he was a little old man. Man, he was. Oh, he was so wretched at the end.
Long the tooth.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah. Yeah.
I keep drinking this like there's more booze in it.
Yeah, I want to wring more booze out of it, but if I get that little bit of lime, I could squeeze it out.
I could pour more booze in it for us and just muddle it, and I'll probably give it plenty of flavor.
No, I do have to drive home, so.
Oh, yeah, I'm that's good. Right. Yeah, that's true. That's why I made it a little weaker.
Yeah.
He was trying to be nice.
Only for a little bit, and then, you know, then it was the normal dynamic.
I can't stop. I want to pick him up the whole time.
Yeah, that's Smike got that for me. Isn't that awesome?
Is he handmade?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, tell handmade. Her the story. It's the whole story to it.
I think we told this on the air before.
Don't care. I'm obsessed with the
Oh, I guess you haven't heard every episode then.
Well, no, I probably tuned you out for a little while.
Well, it was Smike talking, so why are you so rude?
There was this place in, Hungerford, the Hungerford building.
Yeah.
And they sold a variety of different things, but they had these little... these are made out of pipe cleaners.
Yeah.
So it was these pipe cleaner sculptures, and most of them were smaller than this, but they had this guy like in his own display, not for sale sign.
But it was like the guy's personal collection, right?
So a couple of years later, I see the guy at like an art show in the Village Gate.
Okay.
Which is like our kind of artsy play. I don't know, what would you even call that?
Like it was like a craft show, and everybody had like their stuff that they were selling. And I remembered it. And I was like, "Hey, you had that pyramid head that was, you know, bigger than the little stuff you have here. Is that for sale?"
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Oh, let me think about it." And he thought about it, and he named a price. And I was like, "All right, I'll take it."
I don't know what Mike spent on it. So, but I like to think it was $1 million.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, this was one of his own prized possessions. Everything has a price when you're a young
starring artist. Absolutely, it does. Absolutely, it does.
Pyramid Head, well, Silent Hill is one of my favorite video games of all time.
That's a fair
statement. Up until about 4, and then it stops existing.
Yeah.
The later ones don't count. But I have a very clear memory. Is this the first game I had a legitimate visceral reaction to? Like panic attack visceral reaction?
Oh, Max Payne for me.
Oh, really? Max
Payne? The, when the babies are crying. Oh, baby crying scene.
The drug trip?
Yeah.
That's a pretty
little scene. I can't. No.
Like, oh, wow. Follow the blood trail to your dead baby in a drug trip. Yeah,
that's like, awesome. No. Like, skin crawling, still thinking about it. Nope.
Yeah, there have been a couple scenes like that. But in that, it was the buildup. Like, Pyramid Head isn't even in the first game.
No.
But in the first game, I was playing it with my friend Ben. Okay. And we were just two high school geeks, playing this game forever in the dark. I know, right? Big surprise. Like, you haven't heard all this already. But we're just sitting there in the dark playing this. And throughout the early part of the school level, you keep finding paintings of, like, the alternate world with bodies tacked all over. And they always show this door.
Yes.
And you know something bad's behind that door. So, like, we finally got to that door, and I could not open it. I could not bring myself to, like, hit the X button and open the door. I was just, like, frozen with fear.
You're like, what the fuck is behind this door? I don't want to know.
And I'll never forget this, because Ben even then was, like, a more mature, like, sardonic kind of humor than me. So he's like, Mike, just open the door. I'm like, Ben, I don't know something bad is on the side of the door. Look at the bodies. There's bodies on the side of the door. And I never forget this. He gets up, he goes to the window, he opens the curtains, and he goes, Mike, I'm letting the sun in. There's light in the room. It's okay. Just open the door. You know, I got a hostage. He had to, like, talk me down off the ledge. And then I fought this giant crocodile thing that totally ate me, like, 5 times. And I beat it. I was like, oh, that wasn't actually that bad. But, yeah. So, but Silent Hill. But then Pyramid Head, like, still to this day scares the shit out of me.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you in the slightest.
And then when you get his if you do the extra work to get his sword.
I've never played the games.
You can find his bedroom and get that giant knife thing.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious because the reason he drags it like that in the game is because it is heavy and he's like a supernatural evil entity. But for you, you're just a scrawny dude. So it takes roughly, I think we timed it was like 22 seconds to use it. So there's only one enemy in the whole game that it actually makes sense to use, which is this like crawling painting that will one hit kill you. But you see it coming from a really long way away. So if you time it just right.
You
arm the weapon. No joke. So what he does is you arm the weapon with the shoulder button like you're firing a gun. Then you hit the trigger. And he turns, picks up the handle, rests it on his shoulder, and then kind of rocks until he gets enough momentum to let the weight of it pull him forward. And it falls with like this 200-pound blade and just
right into the thing.
Fucks the shit out of anything you hit.
Nice.
But if you time it even slightly wrong, you die. But just being able to do it once.
Fair enough.
That's my story. And then the movie, of course,
amazing.
Rips a girl's skin off. So that also didn't help my terrified fear of Pyramid Head.
I have a really, really sick obsession with horror movies. They're like my all-time favorite thing. Oh, wow. And my birthday falls at the beginning of September. So usually all your good horror movies have started to come out by then.
Oh my gosh, another Mel with an early September birthday.
What is your Mel's?
The 6th.
The 6th? I'm the 5th.
Wow.
So my favorite thing of all time to do is go to the drive-in in the sketchy-ass part of Atlanta across the street from the State Pen.
Are there any drive-ins in, like, safe, nice
parts
there
is. Anywhere? There's one up in Blue Ridge in Georgia. It's like a little yuppie, like...
Blue Ridge sounds yuppie. Wow.
It is. It's totally, totally yuppie. Yeah, and they do, like... Oh, but they only do, like, family movies up there.
Though. Oh, lame.
You know, like, PG only. Anyway, so one of my favorite things to do is go to this drive-in, super sketch fucking drive-in. But, you know, you can drink, you can bring your grill, you can have all sorts of fun there, yeah. Right? So we would bring a bunch of stuff, and we would, it's always a double feature. Mm-hmm. It's $7 per car, or per person in the car now. Mm-hmm. They used to be $7 per car. But it's across the street from the State Pen.
Do they check the trunk?
I don't know.
Saying. Still be $7 a car.
I know, right?
We just need a driver.
So we watch these horror movies. Well, so we were watching Tooth Fairy. Do you guys remember Tooth Fairy?
Oh my God. Was that the one with the lighthouse at the end?
I think so. And it had like the little tooth fairies that would like climb in the bed and like chew you apart. They had like big teeth. It was a Guillermo del Toro one.
No, that's not the tooth fairy. That's the fucking Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah.
Do not get me started in that movie. I still am mad at Mike's wife about that movie.
What?
It was fucking terrible. We all hated it. And I said, this movie looks like shit. Let's not see it. And she's like, no, it's going to be good. Let's see it. We all walked out like that. It was terrible.
Okay. Agreed. It was terrible. However,
it was pretty bad.
However, a friend of mine was very intent in the movie, was not paying attention to anybody around him.
Good, okay.
So he's sitting on the seat out of his expedition, behind his expedition. He had pulled out the entire back row seat and was sitting on it. Nice. He's a very tall, lanky guy, so he's kind of sitting there all like spread out. And so I get up and I creep around the back side of the car, right? And this is payback, because this asshole, in we were watching Aliens versus Predator, and we were sitting in front of him, and this fucking asshole, when we would get tense about something, he would jam his fingers into the side of our necks and we'd fucking scream at the most inopportune times that had nothing to do with the movie.
That's just gonna hurt no matter what.
That's gonna startle.
I mean,
like,
it's still just, it's like that initial response. You're like, oh my god, something's at my throat.
It's animal brain, like, yeah.
So I payback, creep, get around the back of it, just down in the side and run, because I knew it was gonna happen. So he flails out, knocks the seat over, like jumps up, ready to throw fists, and he realizes what happened. And I mean, he turned like 18 shades of red, and he was like, "I swear to God, I'm gonna kill you." It was amazing. So it's now officially my favorite thing to do for my birthday, is to go
jab people in the neck.
Yeah. Well, I like to do that on a daily basis if given the opportunity.
If you get invited to the birthday party, you
just say, no, I got somewhere to hair past a friend.
That would be a really long flight for you for just a night at a drive-in.
That'd be fun. I've traveled long distances for less fun things.
Fair enough.
But they were all work-related, so never mind.
Hey, good point.
So any favorite horror movies? You like the gory, bloody?
Oh man, okay. So I love
Colin's like, this is like, yeah.
Yeah, Colin's a huge horror movie buff.
So I like a lot of the like Korean sort of horror stuff. So, you know, like I Saw the Devil is amazing.
Erica just watched that a couple months ago.
When have you seen that?
Ichi the Killer is another one I really enjoy. I know, it's so gruesome and weird and just.
Is that
creepy.
The one with the guy who's just like periodically in the car, like, ah! Or is that?
No, that's. No. There's a lot of jizz involved in.
Oh, I don't think I've seen it then.
Let's just leave. There's a lot of jizz involved.
It's a disturbing
movie. Is it Mike?
Movie.
That's not. No, Takashi Miike's Japanese. Never mind.
Yeah, no. I think it is a Miike. Yeah. I don't know, it's because Ichi's not Korean. Ichi, I think.
Oh, okay. Japanese. Then it is, yeah. I thought it was Miike. Okay.
Then there's A Devil's Backbone. If you guys have never seen that one, it's
I still haven't seen that.
It's watch it. Good. I liked it.
I mean, like compared to like Pan's Labyrinth.
No, Pan's Labyrinth obviously amazing, but Devil's Backbone is something different.
But can you explain this? Because Eric and I were wondering. Like, we've heard such good things about it, and we saw it, and we're like, meh. Was it? Did you find it scary? Like,
no, it was. It was more like a mental mind fuck kind of thing. It's the
to the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just listened to a podcast with Guillermo del Toro. I'm not going to ruin anything. I'll just say this.
All right.
He was talking about it. I mean, obviously, very entertaining, very interesting guy. I love him because he made the Hellboy movies, and that's near and dear to my heart. But he was talking about filming The Devil's Backbone, which he considers his first movie. Because Kronos, he was just kind of fucking around. Like, and then don't get him started in Mimic. Because he's like, basically, the horror movie for that was working with Miramax, was how he put it.
That's fair.
Devil's Backbone is like, that's, I had the vision in my head, I got to make that movie. But the funny thing is, they had a far longer ending that they were all set to film, and they the bomb thing, you talked a lot about the bomb as an accident, the way it tips over. But that's not the ending. So the ending is a very good, perfectly timed, kind of abrupt, like, oh shit kind of moment, done. He had a much longer ending plan, and they filmed the final scene, that what turned out to be the final scene, which was the beginning of a long day of filming. And I guess he turned to his DP and he's like, we're done. We do not need to film anything else. That is exactly what it needs to be. And he had that kind of realization.
I've had a little too much alcohol to think of the name of... Oh, Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, yeah.
Loved Cabin in the Woods. Loved. I partially because of the whole Army of Darkness, Evil Dead, like, homage sort of, like, pieces that were placed in
there. Is it, and then... So here's a good question, and okay. Colin will enjoy this question too. Is Cabin in the Woods a horror movie, or is it a horror deconstruction? Is it a comedy?
I think it's a horror deconstruction with a good bit of social commentary laid on top of it. Okay. I just feel like there is a whole lot of social commentary in that about the way that people interact and the reasons that we interact the way that we do. And deconstructing a little bit of the fear of people's fear of the unknown and the fear of these things that we've created our own monsters. You know what I mean?
And the specific tropes that they chose.
Absolutely.
The recurrence of those.
Yeah. Absolutely. I just feel like there's a lot of like social construct and like psychological deconstruction of fear in general. So yes, it is a horror movie. But I feel like there was more to that, even though it was, I mean, it was super kitschy kind of comedy thing that I had going with it. But there was more in that, in my opinion, than people gave it credit for. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll go along with that.
I would agree. We're both big fans of that movie.
Anatomy, wait, if you guys haven't seen Anatomy, and Audition, both amazing.
I can't handle eyes. I can't handle needles. And that's all I know about Audition is... needles.
There's lots of needles involved, yeah.
Yeah.
How about the Two Sisters?
I haven't seen Two Sisters.
That's Korean.
I think that's Korean, yeah.
I think Erica still has it from Mel, and she's had it for years. I think it's upstairs.
I can definitely put that on the list. I'm not American horror as a whole tends to...
Okay, so Ju-on, the original Grudge.
Oh, God, yes.
Yes.
Yes!
That might be one of the scariest movies I've ever seen.
Well, and Ringu.
So...
The original Ring was markedly better than The Ring, obviously.
The stuff in Ju-on just freaked me out to no end.
It still disturbs me to this day.
I am also a big fan of horror anime, though, so there's a lot of horror anime.
Horror-may? I'll get back to you on that.
Horror anime? Yeah. No, big fan.
Have you seen Uzumaki?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. What did you think of that? Did you read it, though, the manga?
I didn't. I did just finish Tomy, though, the manga.
Oh, that sounds really familiar.
Tomy is the one, the girl that even if they cut her up, she comes back to life, and she can multiply, and like just a finger can make a new Tomy. Oh, my God, it's so good.
Okay.
So good. Sorry. Nice. Can't even. It's just one of those that I'm just.
All right.
I'm gonna
have to make a note of that one.
Really good. Really good.
Yeah. The manga for Uzumaki, like the story goes on a lot longer, and you get into like the source, and it's very Lovecraftian.
I'm gonna have to.
Creepy as hell.
I'm gonna have to do that. Well, and like Boogie Pop Phantom, if you've never seen that one. Yeah. And I like that.
Parasite.
I've watched parts of Parasite.
Didn't they do a live action movie of that?
I think they did.
Like a really corny
looking. I think they like took a taste of it. I don't think they actually, it was really.
That's like where parts of your body turn into the.
Yeah, sort of.
Look, I'm trying to keep up with this conversation, all right?
Elfin Lied and Hell Girl.
Oh, Elfin Lied. That is disturbing.
It's so good. It makes me so happy.
Are we talking about the anime or the.
The anime in particular.
Yeah. Elfin Lied is a really weird one because it's like. It's like hyper violent,
but and then super. Funny. It also has that like kind of super sexual element to it too, with her being a young girl though. So there's like that pedophilic element.
So it's anime.
It's got weird stuff going on in it, and there's like a genre for that where it's like the one guy with all the different girls living with him, but it's
creepy uncle.
Hugh Hefner,
there's
Japanese
so
version.
So many manga and anime with that as the central conceit.
Yeah.
But in this one, it's like the girls are murderous, but infantile at the same time.
Yeah, but murderous, it's really good. Murderous, bad.
Both.
Okay. Yeah. Both. Warranted and unwarranted. Yeah.
Just indiscriminate.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. There was another one I was gonna think of. Anyway.
Were you just staring at my Star Wars figures?
I was looking up at them, yeah, because I was trying to figure out which ones they were.
Oh, you looked afraid for a second. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was trying
you
to...
You look like Princess Leia, you're like...
I was trying to identify them all, sorry. Just give me a second. Hey, what's that hanging over there on the wall?
The hatchet?
No, next to the hatchet.
The Aerith imported Japanese wall
scroll? In between?
Oh, this mark on the wall?
No.
No,
we're talking about it.
Sash that you made from your time at Blockbuster?
Yeah, that's the thing that's
you
hilarious.
You made that.
No, listen. Okay, so this is what's so funny about this. That is made out of the topper that used to run across the tops of the shelving units at Blockbuster for the game section. I thought it was cool, and I saved some. So when it came
our company colors pretty.
So when it came time to make him a sash for being the king of cloud, it seemed appropriate.
Well, it does. It's very shiny and yeah, kind of shimmery. And, so I can see why your magpie spirit would have said, "Yes, I need to
keep this." I do. I need to keep this.
Your glue pen skills are astounding.
What do you mean?
These letters are amazing.
The letters are foam letters.
Oh, God damn it. I was giving way too much credit. All right. That makes way more sense. How the fuck do you do that?
No, I mean, I did have to cut them out of foam, but they are foam letters.
Wow. Wait, you cut... Those aren't pre-made foam letters.
No.
That's still impressive. I can't cut that well.
Hello, I spent a hell of a lot of money to go to art school. There are a few things I learned how to do.
Use your degree.
I also
had to... There's serifed and everything?
Obviously, it's printed. You have to use serifed letters if you're printing it. And I did pay with 7 stitches in the side of my finger on learning how to use an X-Acto properly. I did slice the entire side of that.
Doing that?
No. That's how I learned how to use an X-Acto properly, though.
Did it involve not stabbing yourself?
It involved actually paying attention to what you were doing and not watching Family Guy while wielding a fresh X-Acto blade.
I think we should all pause and let our audience really soak that in.
Don't
absorb that.
Here, let me give it again for.
Wait. The more you know.
Yeah, I know, right? And knowing is half the battle. So do not use a fresh X-Acto blade on anything while watching television. Because you will end up with 7 stitches down the side of your finger to attach a good chunk of it back on.
The more you know.
And knowing is half the battle. All right.
Creator.
I know, right? Exactly.
Are you too old for that?
I am a little bit too old for that.
Do you remember the PSA things they used to do at the end of G.I. Joe episodes?
I know of them, but I did not watch the actual episodes.
Missing out.
I probably would have, but I don't think they were on a channel. you'd have to get up really early, and I was like, nah, screw that.
Yeah, but for me, Saturday morning cartoons were like, you were like, I need to sleep in. I'm a cool little guy.
Wait, are you 2 years older than me?
You're 34?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just turned 36.
Okay, that's what I thought.
But I worked at Target.
April 5th.
And,
what? How did I not know that?
I don't make a big deal of it.
Yeah, I don't either. Most people don't know my
age. Oh, yeah? Really? Because you just brought it up on a podcast.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I worked at Target, and I worked in the department that had toys and hardware and stuff. So yes. I spent many days stocking those G.I. Joe and Mask and the Transformers.
Back when Transformers were cool.
Cool, yeah. They were and cool.
Metal.
And I was jealous, frankly. Because I was like, man, I didn't have this shit when I was a kid.
It's Mike, I've seen and played with the toys you had as a kid because you brought them over.
Yeah, and, but there weren't that many of them.
No, they weren't that impressive.
So what was your if you had your number one toy growing up, your number one toy, the thing that, man, every Christmas you hoped you were going to get one or something?
It was always video games.
Always video games. What about you?
Man, I don't know. More of these, they're like the things that I brought in. They're Shogun Warriors.
Yeah.
And they were like die-cast metal, and they had vehicles, and they had some of them were just like the robot mech things.
Okay,
I love that shit.
Mine, I'm ashamed to admit, Lady Lovely Locks toys.
Lady Lovely Locks.
Right, have you guys ever even seen Lady Lovely Locks toys?
Oh, is this something where you like cut her hair or something?
No, God, no. Okay. No.
That's what it sounds like.
Absolutely, I totally understand that. Lady Lovely Locks was like a little princess collection thing, right? Okay, yeah. They're adorable, right? Okay, so, but the thing that was so cool about them is that there were these little animals that would, like, basically nest in their hair and would, like, help.
Yeah, that's a prominent part of these pictures.
Yeah, and would help them, like, in their daily endeavors. So they were, like, and they would have these long strips of brightly colored hair attached to them.
Animals in them?
Yeah, I had, like, little animal characters that were the
clips. Pixie tails.
Yeah. Unsanitary.
Yeah. Well.
There's apparently a, there's a show, but there's a cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch the cartoon?
I totally watched the cartoon. That's why I love them.
There were books. Oh, yeah, there's lots of animals rocking in there.
So what was cool about it is you could take these little things and you could put them into your own hair when you would get the doll. So you could have this crazy multicolored hair. There are too many photos to count of my poor father with a million little of these things dangling off of his. Oh, but in the move, in the separation, apparently I had at some point brought the entire box of these things over to our current house. And nice. I'm like, oh, I have to find somebody to give these things to. What the hell am I going to do with this? But
wait for the right time. And then attack with the Lady Lovely Locks.
But I mean, the smell of that after a while, all of these animals living in
the... I mean, it's just like dreadlocks at the end of the day. Like,
well, I mean, are they potty trained? Like, do they know to get out of the hair when they have to go to the bathroom? Do they bathe at all? Do they bathe with you? Because then you better be bathing an extra amount of time.
They never really talked about bathing aspects of it. They never really showed the girls bathing.
Well, no one went to the bathroom in space until Firefly. I mean,
that's true.
Those things, they just kind of conveniently skip by.
Yeah, no, I don't
Why does no one say goodbye on the phone in any movie or TV show? Everyone hangs up on each other. There's just things, weird conventions we don't talk about. But bathing with animals in your hair is definitely, I think it's time in this day and age, in the society of enlightenment that we have reached last year, we should explore that and really make sure that we should have a march to make sure that people understand the need for proper hygiene when you have animals living in your hair.
That is true.
I will get off my soapbox.
That is true. You know, Austin's raising squirrels right now.
He's such a hipster.
I know, right?
So, like, if a guy's got a bird living in his beard, he's a hobo. But if a girl's got one in her hair, she's
Lady
Lovely
Locks.
She's fucking princess. She's Lady Lovely Locks.
I just want to see, like, a little girl be like, with a bird in her hair, like, I'm a fucking princess.
God damn it.
Son of a bitch.
No, you just need a bath, little girl.
And someone needs to tell you how to talk in public. little bitch. Oh.
Hey. Not sorry. Nice. Sorry.
I'm just thinking of that Louis opening that we showed you.
Oh, the one where he has to, but he pooped himself.
No, my favorite, are you talking about Louis C.K., right?
Yes.
My favorite thing he ever talks about is he talks about the difference between male children and female children and what happens to them, okay? So male children destroy everything that you own, right? They will take the very last thing that you have as your absolute depth of last possession when you're at your last worst moment, and they will destroy it. So he talks about his sister, and the son comes over with a handful of sand, and she's grasping this drink because she's had such a hard day, and he comes over with this handful of sand, and he throws it in her drink, and she's like, you know? And he says, then his daughters. So one of his older daughter's toys got broken,
mm-hmm.
and the younger daughter had whatever toy, and the older daughter somehow convinced him that he needed to break one of the younger daughter's toys make it even. He's like, they shit in your heart. Little girls shit in your heart. It's true. All women shit in your heart, but that's beside the point. That's my favorite analogy ever.
You're already here for a second, folks, after Louis C.K. All women shit in your heart.
No. We said that when you find a woman and you decide to be with a woman, whatever that is, whoever that is, it's because you can accept that level of crazy. Because all women are fucking crazy. It's just, what flavor of crazy do you want to deal with?
I'm not going to disagree, but I will say that as I get older, I'm finding that everyone's crazy as you get older.
Oh, no, everyone is crazy. But I always say that men are a certain level of asshole.
Yeah, I was actually thinking that.
And it's how much asshole do you want to deal with?
I would argue that.
I'm good with a lot of asshole.
I was thinking exactly that.
I would argue that it's stupidity.
Oh. Okay, it could be stupidity.
I mean, maybe one's born from the other, but I always thought that men are just generally stupid.
I would like to use ignorant over stupid if I was going to pick one of the two. I think that there are those moments where men are just ignorant because as a society, we raise men to be tough and manly and not feel things. Therefore, they are ignorant towards the idea of emotion and feelings in a lot of cases. Not all, but in a lot.
Well, that's a much nicer way of putting it, I guess. So
I would say ignorant. Ignorant towards the situation because they haven't had
felt.
Yeah.
But women are crazy.
Oh, batshit.
You're blowing the lid off of this whole thing. This is going to be a front page expose. You are, no one has had this realization, Mel. You are just
what?
Letting everyone know.
That women are batshit crazy? I'm like, okay. No. All right. That is what it is.
Do you want to read us out?
What? What do I have to do? Oh, God.
This is our sponsor. Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit stolendress.com. So go ahead and practice it. I'll edit this part out.
Oh, thanks, Kay. Because this is going to suck.
He's not going to edit it out because he's an asshole.
Yeah.
I'm ignorant.
All right. Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit stolendress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books.
See, I don't get it shit. I can keep those.
It's great.
Hello, what do I do for a living? I read fucking other people's scripts.
You read fucking other people's scripts. So, okay, let me ask. So does this involve you reading and fucking the scripts? Are you fucking someone else while reading?
I tell him stop being an asshole, but it's...
I'm just saying you don't really want to know what I do sometimes to get prepped to read a script.
Well, we do say that you have the phone sex voice, so this is all... Wait,
should I do it again? Should I do it again in the right way?
Phone sex voice.
Should I do it there again?
Yeah, but point it down so it's not blocking the mic. So much extra work you just created for me.
Now he really will edit it out.
Now all the funny stuff's getting edited out, and your stupid shit is the only thing you're gonna hear.
While you're at it, just kind of make some mouth sounds. Yeah.
By the way, every time you talk, all you're gonna hear is "Dow!" You make you sound like somewhere between a baboon and like a camel. And we will laugh. We will respond to it throughout the podcast. But all you will be saying is, and that too, that will be the other sound you hear you making in this podcast. So that will be the sound, actually. And that.
Then he broke her.
I've only gotten her to this point a few times.
All right. You need the tripod?
just give her a second. Give her a second.
Oh my God. Oh.
just tripod if you have to. It's okay.
Oh my God. Okay. Oh, let's see if I can do it. I gotta think about this. Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit stolendress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books.
That was too polished and professional. That's more of a courtesan.
Oh, my God.
Can you do it again, like, really awkwardly breathy?
Oh, okay.
Like, something, you're doing something else at that moment, too? Okay, that's too much. We have a producer we need to keep in mind here, but just try to find somewhere between those two.
A producer, what?
Yeah, you're reading the...
Oh, yes, it's okay, okay.
It's for Jason.
Let's see if I can figure this out. All right, I think about this. Buddies in Space is a Stolen Entertainment production. Visit stolendress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books.
We should just play that on every episode.
Congrats, you're our new, can I loop that?
And you can use whatever you want, honey.
Now, we don't have to read it, and we get more male or female listeners, whatever, I guess it doesn't matter.
Whatever works.
Well, I'd say we're about time. Thank you so much for joining. You are?
S. Michael Smith, you are.
And Michael Crossy, you are.
And I am Mel Henderson. We're going to leave it with that.
We're back to that.
Yeah, we
are Buddies in Space. Thank you so much for coming.
It was awesome.
Yeah,
thanks, guys.
It was great to meet you. We're doing
Yes.
Oh, this is weirdly formal now. Mm-hmm. All right, should we do the guy handshake?
Bros.
And then bam, and you gotta blow it up. Yeah. So you ready? So it's gotta be one.
Bam, bam, bam. Oh, God. Now we're just hand fucking.
If that's how you fuck, count me out.
I said hand fucking.
If that's how you hand fuck, count me out.